Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough already. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Is the Rich Eisen Show.
Here's the other surprising part.
With guest host Kirk Morrison.
Buckle up. He's going to put on a show.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I've been watching you guys since day one. You guys are getting better and better.
Activating now.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Women's basketball writer for The Athletic, Sabrina Merchant. Senior writer for The Athletic, Nicole Auerbach. Co-founder of the Premier Lacrosse League, Paul Rabel. And now, filling in for Rich, it's Kirk Morrison.
Hi, welcome in.
There we go, the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here, filling in for Rich as always. That's my new sign-in. I told you, I came up with that sign-in.
Stick with it,
and
man.
I'm going to stick with it. That is what you're getting.
Stick with it.
Kirk Morrison there, filling in for Rich. Much deserved time off for Rich, and hope to fill his seat just for the day. Keep it nice and warm for him. But the guys are here as always. Brockman's here. TJ's here. Jay, my guy Jason, in for Del Tufo.
What up, man?
Good to see you as always, brother.
Wait, Del Tufo, the UFL games are over. He did them this weekend, and now they're done. Like, where is he? Not that I'm not happy to see you, but.
I wondered that, too, but I didn't ask.
Okay. You didn't ask.
Jay's just happy to be here.
Exactly.
You don't care.
It's all good, though, man. Hope everyone had a happy Easter weekend and all that stuff. I went to an Easter egg hunt, and it was fun. And that was it. That's about it. But
I had a cold all weekend.
You had a cold all weekend. It was a little rainy in Los Angeles, so. But man, we found a way to get here. And for me, it was a weekend that had a lot on the sports deck, a lot on the sports deck. I mean, trying to figure out, okay, what do I want to put my focus in? Okay, what is my focus going to be on? Obviously, the NCAA tournament, not just the men's, but also the women's tournament. So you're watching both of those. It was a big weekend for the UFL. They had their kickoff weekend. And obviously, I'm part of that broadcast. So I'm watching that. I'm watching a little bit of golf put into there. Oh, by the way, baseball's first opening weekend was this weekend as well. So you had all of those games going on. Had a big UFC fight on Saturday. So it's like all of these things going on. I'm trying to figure out, like, oh, my God, like, I can't focus. Like, if you don't have multiple devices working for you, I don't know how you stay caught up. I just love sports. I love competition. It doesn't matter what sport it is, but I like to watch. I like to see it. And to now get that late night baseball was what I've been missing. You know, I need that late night being able to watch baseball late into the evening, back. And it's always great. But when you
it's great when your team doesn't stink.
Red Sox are on the West. Yes. Open the season on a West Coast trip.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, late night games in Seattle, Oakland.
Yeah.
Anaheim over the weekend. I'm going to go down there next week. Oh, cannot wait.
It's perfect.
Perfect.
It was a perfect weekend because so much is still happening. And yet the NCAA tournament, no matter how you feel about it, whether NIL, the transfer portal, the men's tournament and the women's tournament have not disappointed, in my opinion. There's been... You know, you've had your Cinderella stories. You've had some of your blue blood programs still in it, especially on the women's side. But the one thing that I'm always reminded of when I think about the NCAA tournament, especially, I would say, the men's tournament, is that every year it always seems to be a player or a team, something that you fall in love with. It's like, wow. Because I'll be honest with you, when college basketball season starts, it's kind of in the middle of the start of the NBA. College football's in full swing. We're still looking at our fantasy rosters when it comes to the NFL. There's so many other things that are going on. I think the World Series is just ending. So it's like, oh, here's college basketball. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even know who's on the teams anymore with the transfer portal. There's so many new guys, new teams, switching around. I can't keep up. Then you have all these tournaments going on. I'm like, you know, you got the Maui tournament. You got this in the Bahamas and the Atlantis. And I can't keep up. So I tend to focus on college basketball right around February as we get closer into March.
Makes sense.
And now I focus in on certain teams. And you find about certain players. And then the NCAA tournament actually happens. And you're watching. And you're focusing in. And you tend to follow a coach, a fan base, or a particular player. I mean, Brockman, we were talking about players who you remember having fantastic NCAA tournaments in their career that you kind of, you always remember. For me, Bryce Drew was just a name that was just top of mind, made one of the greatest shots of
now,
all time.
And now he's the head coach of Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon.
Like he's back. We mentioned just guys, TJ, like Harold Arsenault.
Harold Arsenault.
Remember Dante Jones? Mm-hmm. Like all these guys, they are kind of one-hit wonders, but they did it in March.
Correct.
And that's why we remember them. And I'm sure you're going to get there. We are seeing it live and in person right now, TJ. The big fella making his mark. And everyone is going to remember DJ Burns Jr. Forever.
Yeah. You know what? I'll start right there. DJ Burns, I apologize. I'm sorry. I wasn't familiar with your game. And now that I am, hello and welcome to Stardom. I mean, this isn't just 15 minutes of fame.
No.
I think this is the story that a lot of people are falling in love with. Because obviously you've got a guy who plays the game the way that he does, the size in which he plays with such grace and efficiency.
Yep.
But then there's also like the story behind it. But DJ Burns Jr., right, is now probably one of the most Googled or searched player in college basketball.
Especially after his appearance here on the Rich Eisen show.
Absolutely. You know? But it's even more so because I think you use the platform of the Rich Eisen show and you go out and play well. That helps out even more. Mm-hmm. And now NC State goes to the Final Four. They get a chance to go out and go play for a national championship as an 11 seed. Are 11 seeds really Cinderella's? A Cinderella is technically defined as what? A double-digit seed?
Well, that's 11.
What is the actual definition, Brockman, of what a Cinderella is?
Yeah, I think so. Look, NC State, 11 seed. Okay, correct. They're the sixth 11 seed to ever make the Final Four.
Sixth.
Okay. That is a Cinderella. Look, we know, UCLA did it a few years ago, Loyola Chicago. That's Sister Jean, right?
Sister Jean.
She first put on the map. VCU in 2011, that was Shaka. Yep. Shaka Smart, George Mason, remember that run in 06, and LSU in 86. So the sixth 11 seed ever, they're Cinderella for sure. Yeah.
So just for my knowledge, and that's why I lean on you guys, Cinderellas are double-digit seeds or higher, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure. Because I watched North Carolina State in the ACC tournament. And I'm like, okay, they've got something going. And they get to, I believe they played, who was the Virginia? And they hit the shot at the buzzer to send it to overtime. Like, they were this close to not even making the tournament.
They won five straight games in the ACC tournament make it.
They're on a 9-game win streak. They are on a 9-game winning streak, North Carolina State. This is the stories that I'm talking about. These are the stories that make college basketball fun. Because, to be honest, I didn't watch North Carolina State basketball before the last 3-4 weekends. And yet they've stolen my attention. They've stolen pretty much, I think, America's attention. Because they have a player in DJ Burns who you got to go research. You got to go and look him up. You got to go say, hey, how did I miss on this guy? The personality that he plays with, right? The fun that he plays with, his size, demeanor, things about all of that. And you look back and say, this dude went to Winthrop? Like, he started at Tennessee, didn't play there. Then he goes to Winthrop, plays there for 3 seasons, transfers over to North Carolina State. And then to even think, this is the one step that I take it further. He played his high school basketball in South Carolina. He was the number 3 player in the state of South Carolina back in 2018. You know who the number 1 player was? Number 1 player in South Carolina in 2018 high school basketball. guy by the name of Zion Williamson.
Oh, heard of him.
Heard of him, yeah. Zion goes to Duke, then goes immediately to the NBA. He's been in the NBA now for four seasons already. And here's a guy who was right behind him, but has had to go through the college basketball ranks. He goes through from Tennessee, where he didn't play, he redshirts, goes to Winthrop, plays marginally in the beginning, freshman year, sophomore year, then is player of the year in the conference, and says, you know what? I want to go enter the transfer portal. Because, see, the thing about it is we hate the transfer portal when it doesn't work for us. Right? We hate, oh, I hate the portal. These kids, there's no loyalty. But then I look at the story like this with DJ Burns, and I'm saying this is what the portal's supposed to be about, success. A guy who says, yeah, I'm playing at a program that is maybe a low major in Winthrop. I think I can play on the highest level of college basketball. I could play amongst the Blue Bloods. I can go into a conference that has Duke and North Carolina, Syracuse, Virginia. I can go play at that level. And he did that. He went up to that level. And now we're watching him over the last couple weekends go out and put on the show with a smile on his face, with a demeanor, with a respect for the game. And what really stands out to me, fellas, and he talked about it in his press conference too, and I get to a little sound of him talking about his comments after the game, but he does it in such a fun manner. Like, he's having fun. And when you have fun, trust me, as a former player in the NFL, one thing that you can show me, I can watch tape, I can watch a game. You cannot fake fun. Mm-hmm. You can't fake that.
Yep.
Like, I've watched NFL film with the sound off, watching. I'm like, man, those dudes out there having fun. Because it's how they play. It's the movement. It's the love for one another, his teammates, the fan, all of that. That dude is having fun. And you can take a listen to DJ Burns. This is after the game as his Wolfpack, the North Carolina State Wolfpack, heading to the Final Four.
What does Coach Keats mean to you, and how did he have you guys prepared for this?
I'll tell you this one. I would say, he changed the trajectory of what I had going on, you know. I was up at Winthrop and, you know, didn't really know how this was going to play out when I put my name in that portal. And honestly, I didn't even at first think I was coming here. So for this, it's just an absolute blessing, and I think that that man needs a lot more respect still.
Put some respect on Kevin Keats's name, the head coach over at North Carolina State. By the way, North Carolina State, not just the men's team is in the Final Four, but the women's team is actually in the Final Four as well. So you've got to figure out, and this is always the fun part. I wish I can talk to the AD, Boo Kerrigan, one of the ADs over there at North Carolina State, because you got a kind of a divided fan base a little bit, right? It's like, do we go to the men's tournament in Phoenix, or do we go, or who gets to go to Cleveland for where the women's Final Four is? Because you're going to be represented, or do you just go to both? You fire up the PJ, and it's like you're in Cleveland on Friday, fly straight to Phoenix on Saturday, and hopefully you got games on Sunday, and then coming back again Monday. This is what it's all about. This is what it's for. These matchups and DJ Burns and guys like that. Like, I'm truly excited because you want to see success to guys who have had to go through a little bit of adversity. And I don't know if you want to call it adversity, but to see a guy work his way up to where he is now and to see everyone put it on display for the world. DJ Burns is a guy that when I think of now the 2024 NCAA men's basketball tournament, his name now pops. His name now comes to mind for what he's been able to do and help lead his program to a Final Four berth. That's unreal. Unreal. So
I text Brockman and Adam Chudwin, our call screener, I think first half of the first game against Texas Tech, Chris, and I was like, DJ Burns is my new favorite player.
Hey, you are on this immediately.
Right.
Immediately when the tournament started.
I don't know how I missed him throughout the season, but just a guy like that, I'm into like the big guys, right? Because this guy knows. Steph Curry changed the game of basketball, right? He took everything past the three-point line. To me, growing up in the era that I grew up in, the big man ruled basketball, right?
Exactly.
So a lot of the great centers, a lot of the great power forwards, they've been missing lately. in basketball the last few years. Yeah. So when I see a guy like that looks like that, you know, a big bra, you know what I mean? Like, I'm into the okay. even the chubby brothers, because, you know, that's we all got to stick together.
I mean,
together.
We prefer the term husky,
the
but
husky,
it's okay.
Okay, husky. You know, that's big boned type guy. So you see a guy like that, 6'9", you know, probably 3 bills, small change. Very nimble, Kirk. Very nimble.
Yes.
Just ambidextrous. Very smooth with his game, man, and just plays light on his feet. And I'm like that. I like that. You know, you bring up the big guys of the past, like the Jihadi Whites and the Tractor Trailers and the Danny Fortsons. Yeah. And you know, you put him in that category now. So I'm hoping for big things from DJ.
Yo, guys our age, we love the N1 tour.
Escalade.
Rest in peace. Trending over the weekend because of DJ Burns.
Right.
If you aren't familiar with N1, Escalade, giant dude, younger brother, Mark Jackson.
400
big
pounds.
Guy, but he was like a point guard. He got everyone involved. Great passer, nimble, great feet, great hands. And we were just like, it's Escalade.
It's Escalade.
DJ
yeah.
Burns is out here killing it. Like, man, one day.
Oh, baby.
It was awesome. Oh, yeah, it was really cool.
It took me back to my N1 days,
DJ,
man.
Oh, baby. DJ can't pass the rock like Escalade, though.
Escalade had Don.
Escalade was so nice.
He was a baller. But, man, look, I mean, this is one of those stories that which we'll continue to keep looking at. He's the star, I think, of the biggest stars in the men's NCAA tournament Final Four. I think DJ Burns is one.
Yeah,
Edie's two, and we'll talk a little bit of him. But
and
then
that's
Purdue,
another great matchup.
Yeah, that's a matchup,
to.
Right?
Big boys,
two
down
big
there,
guys.
Man.
We're going old school with that one.
Edie had 40 and 16 yesterday.
Bro, Edie
felt
is
disrespected.
Unstoppable.
Yeah,
like, I don't
40 and 16.
Hey, we got a lot. We gonna get to that.
I'm excited, man. This is
we gonna get to
it.
But the thing about it, we're talking about that one, but I don't think we're talking about what possibly could be the biggest women's college basketball game ever happening tonight.
Games.
But I say of the two games tonight, there may be one that may be the most watched ever.
Yeah, the rematch.
The rematch. Last year's national championship game, Iowa-LSU. I know for you, I don't know about you guys, but I'm clearing my schedule.
Yep.
For 7 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, 4
Kirk,
p.m. here on the West.
Multiple devices. So
No. This ain't a multiple device game. I'm watching this.
You don't want to be half watching while you're scrolling.
You can't half watch this one.
You don't want to half watch Iowa and LSU.
No.
That got money.
At Rural Pacific. So come on now.
You know what? Yeah, I want to get more into that. Sabrina Merchant from The Athletic. She's been covering, she covers women's basketball, but this is going to be.
This is going to be fun.
She'll join us next year on The Rich Eisen Show, get her perspective on how big this game is tonight. So excited. Sabrina Merchant coming up right here on The Rich Eisen Show.
A lot of you folks who have been listening to this show know about our relationship with Game Time, which is the ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase because you could see views from your seat. And before you buy your tickets, before you hit that purchase button, you get all in pricing. So you know everything that's into the cost of your seat and there's no surprises at all. Now here's something you may not know about Game Time. It's the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. Killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seats, and the lowest price guarantee with Game Time taking the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. So download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account. Redeem the code EISEN. You get $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last-minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there's the sneak-a-peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got-a-ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast-scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter, who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark. Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA. There's somebody on Twitter, and it could be Bob, @real_BobCostas. Then you read the Twitter bio, and you begin to think something could be up. How are you, Bob?
I'm good, Rich. Late last night, and then again this morning when I woke up, dozens of texts, some claiming it must be real, some saying this can't be true.
Yes.
And one said, this is the best indication that hell has frozen over since the 04 Red Sox or the 2016 Cubs. But I am here to assure you and everybody else,
yes,
that the fires of hell are still very much blazing, because I am absolutely not on Twitter. They have taken the bogus account down. And I began thinking, you know, what would I have to do before I ever deigned to be on Twitter? What, like binge watch The Real Housewives of Orange County? Make a return trip to Sochi just for the nostalgia of a Pink Eye episode? Star in a sequel to Basketball? Or just for you, Rich.
Yes, Bob.
Make a special trip to the NFL Combine. All those things will happen before I'm ever on Twitter.
Okay, so this is the real Bob Costas. We can confirm that now.
Yeah.
Oh, Twitter needs that.
Oh, my gosh. Your son tweeted it out that this is not you.
When I saw the first screen grab that Keith sent to me,
yes,
one tip-off should be, look, I'm a reasonably humble and self-effacing guy.
Yes.
But would I knowingly shortchange myself 7 Emmys? Like, I couldn't even get the number of Emmys right.
Exactly.
I said that. I said 21 seems a little light.
You got to pull a scam. Get your ducks in a row.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. It is Monday. It is April 1st, April Fool's Day, but today is not a day for fools. This is going to be what I call possibly one of the greatest women's college basketball games ever tonight. And here on the Rich Eisen Show, talk about it with me, Sabrina Merchant, the Athletics women's basketball staff writer. Sabrina, I am so excited to talk to you because I've watched a lot of women's college basketball through my years, and you've had the UConn years, obviously South Carolina's dominance over the last couple of seasons, what LSU has been able to do. Caitlin Clark has been amazing. But tonight, for some reason, it just feels so much bigger, especially the way that last year ended with LSU and Iowa in that national championship game. I wish the game tonight was actually in the Final Four, even a championship rematch for a championship. But tonight, how would you, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you put this matchup between LSU and Iowa?
I think the only thing preventing it from being a 10 is the fact that it's an Elite Eight game and not a national title game. So probably a 9, because you have star power of Angel Reese and everybody on LSU, Flaje Johnson, Michaela Williams, Haley Van Lith, obviously Kim Mulkey, star in and of herself, and Caitlin Clark is the biggest player probably in college sports. So the only problem here is that we still have to play 3 more games after this one happens.
You know, how do we get here with both of these programs, though? Because we knew there were going to be a collision course, and you would hope that we would have this matchup. It does happen, but for the way for Caitlin Clark and all that she's accomplished to be here, for LSU to get back into this situation, to have another opportunity at another Final Four, for both of these teams, programs to have to go through the seasons they had with basically the bullseye on their back just to be here, I think is an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell every time Iowa played, whether it was at home or on the road, they were getting a team's best shot. I mean, they sold out every arena they went in other than a couple of those Thanksgiving tournaments, you know, when attendance is just a little different in those tiny gyms. But, like, people are doing Caitlin Clark's, you know, now you see me against her, like, every time they're defending her well. Just the hype that opposing crowds get when they play Iowa, it was definitely a target on their back the entire season. And LSU, I mean, from the very first game of the season against Colorado, it was teams trying to punk them and show that their championship was a bit of a fluke, and they've had to play the entire season under that sort of tenor. It's been a miraculous ride because both teams are so different. You know,
right.
Iowa loses two of their front court starters from a year ago. LSU loses their point guard and center to graduation. You've got their current center tore her ACL back in November. Just a lot of different moving parts that both of these teams have had to deal with. And the fact that they're both here at this point, I think, is just a testament to how good Angel is, how good Caitlin is, and just how much fun tonight is going to be.
Sabrina Merchant, she's the Athletic women's basketball staff writer, joining the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich. Sabrina, it's funny that Dawn Staley, South Carolina, they're already in the Final Four. And it's like no one's really talking about them. I know they're the number one seed and they're undefeated. So, yes, they have all that going for them. But I feel like they're, can I say, a quiet one seed? Because we expect them to be in the championship game. It's just of the teams that are remaining, whether it's North Carolina State, whether it's USC, whether it's UConn, LSU, mm-hmm. Iowa, who is going to take down South Carolina?
Yeah, and I think a part of it is that, you know, you look at that Iowa-LSU region and it was just – I mean, like, the four teams that were remaining in the Sweet 16 could have been a Final Four right. by themselves. Like, there was just so much talent in that region. So the fact that South Carolina got, I'm not going to say an easy path to the Final Four, like, everybody has to win the four games, but they got a more comfortable path to get back to this point. Obviously, whoever wins this LSU-Iowa game, I think, is going to put up a real fight if they get to a championship game against South Carolina. USC, led by Juju Watkins, has just rolled in winners of their last eight games. Have this really nice combination of obviously the freshman sensation, but also a lot of really good veteran talent that has come in as transfers and supported Juju and given her all the, you know, complimentary pieces that they need to get to this point. And I don't want to overlook NC State either. Like, Battle of the Carolinas, you've got Sanai Rivers, point guard for NC State. She started her career at South Carolina, won a national championship there, and now gets to play against her former teammates. Like, that's an awesome storyline. I think South Carolina is still the favorite to cut the Neds down. They played a lot more closer games than they did at this point last year. And I honestly think that's to their benefit, that they've had to execute in those situations. You're not going to see them look shell-shocked like they did against Iowa in the Final Four last year when it was close in the fourth quarter. So I still think the Gamecocks are heavy favorites, regardless of what happens tonight with USC, UConn, and LSU, Iowa. But it is definitely a lot of fun to talk about the games that are taking place today.
Yeah, this has been a fun tournament, one that I feel like obviously the ratings are reflecting it. Some of the highest rated women's college basketball games that we've ever seen. And on top of that is, I'm looking at obviously Iowa LSU because that's the main game for today. But UConn USC, they've got star power as well. What makes the LSU-Iowa game is because there's a past, right? There's a, you know, the rematch of the national championship. And so people may say that, well, it's the storylines that are pushing this game, Sabrina. But I'm looking around, and I'm just looking at women's college basketball, and I'm saying, wait, Phil Wiley is a freshman? Juju Watkins is a freshman? Hidalgo is a freshman at Notre Dame? I'm looking at all of these women who – they'll be back. And I get more than just one season and they're off to the WNBA. They're going to be back for two, three, four seasons. I'm now starting to fall in love with the brands of a lot of these women who are going to college basketball, and we get to watch them develop over the year. I think that's what the bigger power is that I've seen in this tournament.
Yeah, I think, you know, the age rule does a lot of favors for women's college basketball because these teams get to build and you get to fall in love with the players and, you know, travel with their journeys. Like, we think about Iowa. 2 years ago, Caitlin Clark and Iowa lose in the second round on their home court, but the entire starting lineup comes back and we get to watch their run to the national title game. And then three starters return and they get this revenge chance against LSU, right? And they're playing against so many of the same players who are on that Tigers team. So it's fun to, you know, we don't even see this in pro sports anymore with how much movement there is in free agency. Like, there's a real continuity to a lot of these teams that allows you to latch on. And then you mentioned, like, this freshman class is just absolutely generational. It is ridiculous how much talent there is in these first year groups and just how much they're producing already. Like you mentioned, Phil Wiley, Hidalgo, Madison Booker took her team to the Elite of Texas. Obviously they lost to NC State, but you know, even UConn, their best player is Paige Beckers, but they've got two freshmen in their starting lineup who are absolutely killing it in KK Arnold and Ashlyn Shade. Just every team you look at, there are freshmen who are producing immediately. I don't think we're going to see this every year with the freshman class. I do think the talent is getting better and better, but I think this is a special group that we're going to get to enjoy, you know, for the next 3 years in college.
The Athletics women's basketball staff writer Sabrina Merchant joining the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich. So we know we have the matchup at 7 p.m. Eastern time between LSU and Iowa, but then the nightcap. It's the second game, USC, UConn. Obviously, you have two outstanding programs. USC, it's kind of, you kind of scratch your head because every time you look up, it's like these new firsts, right, Sabrina? It's like, first time USC's been to the Final Four since Cheryl Miller. I'm like, wow, like that's pretty incredible. And then obviously UConn and what they've been throughout women's college basketball. But that should be the story. But the story on the court will be, will the court be regulation size, though, Sabrina? Please help me out. But what's going on in Portland at the Moda Center this past weekend? It took, now some say a fan took the picture and sent it down and says, hey, this court is not regulation. It looks like there's some discrepancies. Will the discrepancies be fixed by tonight's matchup or tonight's tip-off between UConn and USC?
Yeah, this is absolutely one of the weirdest things I've ever seen.
Never seen on
a basketball game. I mean, I've been in Portland the last 3 days, yeah, and it's so wild to me that none of the players who were on the court when they were playing in practice or playing in games could feel that the three-point line was a little bit shorter on one side than it was on the other. From what I understand, the one that looks a little bit further away is actually the correct distance, and the one that's closer is about 6 inches, you know, too close to the basket. But I mean, you're absolutely correct. Like, there was a fan who noticed in the stands at the fifth game that has taken place at the site. The fifth game. So 4 games have taken place with an incorrect three-point line. And because the game is supposed to be on ABC yesterday, there's a, you know, certain window that ABC has booked for Texas-NC State. The coaches thought, well, we'd rather play on NC State with a slightly maladjusted three-point line than have to wait and potentially get knocked off onto another channel, because, you know, you talked about the ratings and
right,
all the interest that has come, right? Like, let's just play at our scheduled time when everybody's ready to watch us, as opposed to waiting an hour for somebody to potentially fix this. We've been told that the line is going to be fixed before tonight's game between USC and UConn. I mean, both of these teams have already played a game without the line being fixed, so there's that to deal with, and they seem to have shot just fine. But it's just a little frustrating. You think about all of the growth of the women's tournament, right? Like, we're talking about all the storylines, all right, of the interests, all the fun that we've been having over the last 2 weeks, and the fact that the NCAA has a contractor that got this wrong and nobody chose to check it is really disappointing. And just, there's been a couple of things, you know, over the course of this tournament that the NCAA has just messed up, and it's just another sign of, like, this would never happen on the men's side, right? Like, they hop into all of these different arenas, right? Like, they right, have a different three-point line than the NBA three-point line. And we didn't see any problems at Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles or the American Airlines Center. Like, they got it right. So there's no reason why this shouldn't be correct for the women's tournament.
Yeah, I understand completely, because that should not be the story. But yet it is the story. And I think even I think with Hidalgo as well, she had her nose ring in.
Exactly.
And they stopped play, made her go to the bench. She had to sit down while her team kept playing. And she had to have her nose ring removed that she's played with all season long. And I'm like, why are we doing that now? She's the best player on the court. Notre Dame ends up losing that matchup as well. And so maybe could have cost Notre Dame an opportunity to advance in this tournament. There's so many things now that we are focusing on with the women's game. You've been covering it, though, Sabrina. Like, I think the focus now is that how much better not just the game is, but how exciting it is, but how influential some of these players are that need to be out there on the floor.
Absolutely. I mean, Hannah Hidalgo had to sit for 4 minutes in the second quarter, and she was off like the rest of the way. Like, you saw, she had one of her worst shooting games right, in recent memory. And I have to believe part of it is because she's having like some sort of surgical operation happening to her.
Yes.
The sideline, right, during the start of the second quarter. And how do you only notice that in between the first and the second quarters?
Right.
Like, that's something that you're supposed to be checking for. Shouldn't it be addressed pregame? It's just the inconsistency of the application of these rules, the fact that there like isn't, you know, a set standard across all of the referees who are adjudicating this. It's just, it's frustrating that the players have to deal with all this nonsense. But I mean, like you said, overall, I think the tournament, just with the star power that we've had across all of these teams, like, Caitlin Clark is going to be somebody we're going to be talking about for a very long time, right?
Right.
Like, she's already been invited to Team USA camp. There's a good chance she makes the Olympic team. She's going to be a face of American basketball for a very long time. And the fact that she, you know, could be joined on those teams in future years by Flaje Johnson and Juju Watkins and Paige Becker is like, it's so cool that they get to build their legacies against one another at this moment and then get to play against each other again and again and again. We just have this really cool moment of awesome talent, first of all. Like, I think the talent has improved so much, but just the accessibility of these players is awesome. Like, the fact that they get to play on ABC and ESPN, and the, you know, the national title game is going to be on ABC again. And we saw what kind of numbers that did when LSU played Iowa last year, you know, a peak of about 12 million viewers for that national title game. It's just a really cool inflection point in women's sports, and the players are absolutely ready to deliver what fans are looking for.
Just a couple more minutes here with the Athletic Women's Basketball staff writer Sabrina Merchant here on the Rich Eisen Show. And Sabrina, I'll focus on the two games tonight again, because these are the final two that will help us get the Final Four ready in Cleveland, Ohio, starting on Friday. The one thing that I'm looking at with LSU and Iowa, there will be a winner, there will be a loser. Is it? I'm trying to focus it in, because there are some people who don't like the way that LSU's women, a little more flamboyant, a little more in your face. Caitlin Clark, not necessarily reserved, but she's kind of America's darling when it comes to basketball. And I'm just trying to figure out, I know we both win tonight in watching this game, but is there a rooting favorite when it comes to, it seems like the public perceptions, they want Iowa to win because they want more Caitlin Clark, and they're not really, they don't like the way that Kim Mulkey's LSU women's basketball team plays the game.
Yeah, I do wonder what the national perception of LSU were if they had a coach other than Kim Mulkey. I feel like she expects some of that to herself. But, you know, it's so interesting to me that Caitlin is regarded as America's sweetheart and darling, because she talks just as much trash as anybody on LSU. Like, we've seen all of the clips from her first round games in Iowa, you know, slamming the ball in her face, talking to the refs. Like, she is as emotional and demonstrative on the court as anybody. And I think that's what makes her so compelling, right? You see how much this means to her in real time. And yeah, I think the national favorite is going to be Iowa. Like, there's obviously a racial component baked into that, and that's super unfortunate. But part of it is, you know, in the rematch, you kind of want to see Iowa get their revenge on LSU, right? Like, they lost in that game last year. I think it would be, you know, a more interesting storyline if they were to win and get to move forward after what happened to the national title game. Like, this is Caitlin Clark's last season in college. For her to put the bow on what has been, you know, one of the most decorated careers of all time, you know, is obviously a really interesting story. The only thing left that's missing on her resume is a national title. So I can see why a lot of people would be rooting for Caitlin in that situation. But I mean, LSU, this is a program that won its first national title last year. Like, they're building something historic there. Angel could come back next year. Flage will come back. Michaela Williams is coming back. This is a team that's built for years to come. And I think, like, historical dominance, also a very cool storyline. And I like my players who, you know, get into it and egg on the crowd. And, you know, Angel throwing up the L after they beat UCLA, like, that was a bit corny to me. But it's funny, you know? And Flage Johnson, like, she wins the national title, they're playing her song at the American Airlines Arena, like, along to it on the day. It's like, that's so cool. So there's a lot of excellent personalities on LSU, and I get that they're a little bit more in your face than women's stars in the past, but I think it's time we just get on board, you know?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And then, look, the nightcap again, excuse me, USC, UConn, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who wins. I think that we're going to see Geno and obviously his ball club, Paige Beckers, and what she had to go through last year to get back to this situation, maybe to a Final Four. Then you have the super freshman and Juju Watkins taking USC, bringing USC women's basketball back to prominence. It doesn't matter kind of who wins, but I feel like we all win in this scenario. But UConn could join North Carolina State and have both their men's programs and women's programs in the Final Four. So it's like you're dividing up fan bases, though, Sabrina. So it's like you're rooting for UConn, but at the same time, you're like, well, half their fan base has to be split between Cleveland and also in Phoenix due to the Final Fours in different locations.
I feel bad for their band directors, too, because they have to split that part up. That's a lot of work, right? Like, these students, they're supporting their teams, and there's just not enough people to do both, you know, in Cleveland and Phoenix, like you mentioned. Like, honestly, there's a ton of fans around the country. I feel much worse for the band directors than I do for the fans who have to
sign. That's so funny, man. Well, Sabrina, you've been doing great in covering college basketball, women's college basketball, and basketball in general throughout the entire season. Big night tonight. We will be following you on X at Sabrina, S-A-B-R, 2 E's, N-A-J-M on X. We'll be following you tonight. Enjoy Portland. Can't wait for the big matchups tonight. Thank you, Sabrina, for the time.
Thank you so much.
That's Sabrina Merchant, the Athletic Women's Basketball staff writer. So much to digest there from the women's game, the men's game. That's what today is. Monday night. There's nothing else that really, outside of some baseball.
Yep.
That's the game. I mean, that's what my focus will be on tonight. I'm excited to see both those matchups and to see what the Final Fours will look like. I've got a rooting interest, man. I really do. Really do. So we can get into that. And also, Zach Edey had some words for the people who didn't recruit him or offer him. We'll get to that coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
I did not approve this, but that's part of me delegating to you, our social media grandmaster. You put out on Instagram a photograph. It says breaking Bears trading for Russell Wilson. And what's today's date?
It is April 1st, Rich.
And that is what? It is April Fool's Day. So it's 5 minutes to air, and my phone's on the desk and it's buzzing, and
yeah.
And I see it is it's Jeff Garland. Is the caller there? Is the caller there on the Rich Eisen?
Jeff from Chicago.
What's funny about it? Nothing's funny about it. Nothing is funny about it. Our friend Doug Robinson texts me.
Yes.
Capital left, Russell Wilson. He says, you know, Rich doesn't usually get the scoops. Adam Schefter should be on this. Well, that should have made me suspicious.
Yeah.
But no, I have so much respect for the Rich Eisen Show that I know that they have connections that nobody else has.
That's true.
Well, you know what, Rich? I'm not going to swear, but I got to tell you, your little social media boy, he's going to get his. Oh, my God. He's gonna get his.
TJ, do you have anything to say to Jeff Garland?
Yeah. Happy April Fool's Day.
All right. Hey, DJ, you don't know what you've brought down on yourself. You don't even have a clue.
I'm ready for it.
You know the power that I have, especially in practical jokes. I'm going to nail you so hard.
Pause.
You know what? I hope you enjoy your testicles right now because they're going to disappear.
No, but I need them.
Oh, my God.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Oh, man. I know it's April Fool's Day, and I'm always got, you got to be on high alert. Right. Like April 1st, be on high alert. Because the minute I woke up this morning, I saw like a couple of fakes. So this is where I think people need to always do their research. They got to vet their sources.
Come on now.
We're in a country that we don't vet our sources.
Nah, nope, not
just
anymore.
Just because you see it on the internet, you can't consider it Bible, right? You can't consider it. It's the facts. It's the truth. I don't like that. And I've seen that before, especially with guys in my group chat. Like, man, You know they saying the Giants to take. Who is they? Wait, oh, who are these people that you speak of? Hey. You know they saying that we know we might trade up. Who is saying that? So we got to watch not just for April Fool's Day, but also all of these smoke screens with the NFL draft coming up, right? People, oh, quarterbacks going to dominate the draft. I get it. That's what you say every year because that's what drives everybody to watch the NFL draft. I get that part. But I saw a fake April Fool's today that I was upset that it was fake because I thought it was kind of exciting. You know me. I guess I'm a scratch golfer. I won't call myself being great, but I think I can hold my own. I won't slow you up too bad. I may go through a couple sleeves of balls, but it's okay. That's part of the game. That's part of playing golf. But I woke up this morning and I immediately saw a fake tweet that said, breaking, the PGA Tour and LIV Tour are going to stage a Ryder Cup type of competition yearly starting in 2025. I almost jumped out of my, I said, whoa, jumped out of bed, like excited, like, wait. And then I was like, wait. Let me double check my sources. And obviously the Twitter or the X handle was not the one in which was a credible source. But it got me thinking how cool that would be though, to see like the LIV guys versus the PGA Tour guys. And look, that to me is probably, I won't say it may be better than the Ryder Cup because Ryder Cup has been going on for so long, but I would sign up for that. I would watch that. If you put that on for a 4-day and have the best of each, I guess, leagues or tours go up against each other, I'm all in.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got to think, in the next couple weeks, wait, so next week is the Masters, right? Oh,
correct.
A tradition unlike any other. Mm. Can't wait for it. But this is also the...
You have to whisper when you talk about the Masters.
Yeah,
on CBS.
Yes, the Masters on CBS. Yeah.
And the Pines.
A tradition unlike any other. The, what is it? The azaleas?
The azaleas.
Glooming. Yeah, all of that.
$1.50 for Pimento's cheese sandwich. $2 beers.
It's Augusta. Yeah, I think the Masters in Augusta, Georgia is the only time that...
Cinderella story.
Who do I get to... I get a sense to see Dustin Johnson. I don't get a chance to see him throughout the year as much on the three-letter networks, right? Jon Rahm, his first opportunity on the three-letter networks. So we get a chance to see some guys I haven't seen.
Patrick Reed.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. So I didn't get duped, but it did give me an idea, right? Got me an idea. Okay, now I got to go back to my regular voice. Anyway, yeah. But it did give me an idea of what possibly could come. So, yeah, it may be some fakes out there, you know, practical jokes, April Fool's jokes.
Don't get got today.
I'm not getting got.
Just for the record, I didn't try to get anybody today. I let today go. I had some ideas. I said, nah, I want Jeff Garland. He's still mad. I don't want that. So
I got a great idea to get rich. I might still do it later.
You still want
to
do it? All right. Okay.
I might do it later.
Look, today's been a big college basketball day. I wanted to get to the Zach Edey sound because Purdue, one of the big favorites, heavy going into the tournament, one of the big stars, Zach Edey. You feel like what he's been at Purdue for like, what, 6 years?
He was on the same team with Glenn Big Dog.
Oh, he's been Big Dog. Okay, yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah, he'd be playing there when the Big Ten was without some of the teams there, right? Nebraska before. It's a whole different Big Ten now. But, you know, everyone has a chip on their shoulder. And I'm like, for a dude 7'4", how could you say that you didn't really necessarily recruit him or coaches look past him? And that's something that Zach Edey talked about as his Boilermakers head to the Final Four.
There were so many coaches that looked over me. Like, you could name a program, I could name a coach that looked over me. The Tennessee, Quick Barnes is a great coach, but he was in a bunch of our practice, looked over me. Like, it's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me, people look past me, and can't do that anymore.
I like how you put that. Can't do that no more.
How are you looking past the man 7'4" tall? Like,
can't see over him. That's for sure.
They're not doing it no more.
That's what I'm about to say. The man didn't have to use the ladder to cut the net down.
I've never seen that before. First time I've ever seen that.
And what was so cool about it, because he took a minute to cut. I was like, right. Man, he's taking a lot of the net. What he did is he took a couple pieces of net and he handed them to legendary Purdue coach Gene Katie, who was there. And I thought that was really, really just very cool of him to think about.
I've never seen that though, TJ.
No.
Like, you know, because that's a huge sponsor for, you know, the NCAA tournament. Is that, I want to make sure that I don't want to, is it the Weber ladder? Well, I don't know who the ladder company is, but they always place the ladder like right there under the court, under the basket, the ladder of the NCAA tournament.
Werner ladder.
So Werner. There you go. I said Weber. Werner ladder. See, there it is. I knew it because they put it, product placement is crucial right now, especially with the photos flying around. And it was funny because they gave him the scissors and everybody assumed he would walk up the steps to the ladder. And he just like sidestepped the ladder like, nah, I'm good. I don't need it. And just went up and just pulled it down and just start cutting. I'm like, okay, I've never seen that happen. But it was actually pretty cool to see just how big of a man Edie is. Like, he is literally touching the top of the basket, of the hoop. He can touch it. I feel like if he stretched his hand all the way out, he's probably 2 inches from the rim. So he's seeing a whole totally different, like, you know, people say, hey, how's the weather up there? Like, it really is something for Zach Edey. Seriously, like, he can sense the rain before it gets to me. I'm only 6'2".
Are you?
Yeah. We talked about this, TJ. Oh. We talked about this. You already try to go back to back. And yes, no. I am taller than you, TJ.
No, you're not.
Oh.
He was not taller than
you. This is amazing. Yeah. All right, photo to come.
It's photo to come.
Photo to come in the break. Yes.
No, you were not taller than me. No,
because first of all, you had the beanie on. Oh. You had all of that.
Come
he was
on,
like,
dog. You are not taller than me.
Man, just because you're 6'1", it's okay.
What? Man, TJ been lying about his height all these years?
We're going to see after
lying
this. Say it so, TJ. You know, say it ain't so.
6'3", like Chubb Rock said, 6'3", maybe so. A quarter of an inch bigger.
Okay, here we go. Oh, man. Shit. But I just watching the men's tournament, too. It's always fun, too, when you see some of the fan bases in the stands. Like I said, last year I got to experience it for the first time as a real fan. My San Diego State Aztecs went to the Final Four, took on FAU, and the shot that still gives me goosebumps and chills, how we won that basketball game. And then they go on to the to the national championship game against UConn, and yep. UConn has been doing the same thing to everybody. Like, they're just steamrolling people, right? It's like, come on, man. Like, this team is just, they continue to keep going. They continue to keep playing. I know for me, I'm like, all right, who else they got next? Because they are embarrassing people.
Don't matter.
And it don't matter. Like,
they're going to win by 30.
They beat my Aztecs by like 30, and I was like, oh, I feel bad. And then the next matchup, same thing. They just beaten everybody. So they're the clear-cut favorite, number one, to repeat.
Yeah.
But yet, are we going to be excited about this UConn dominance again? Or is it just – because I'll be honest with you, I can't name two or three players on the squad now.
I think the most famous person on Connecticut is the coach.
The coach, yeah.
You know, Danny Hurley.
Danny Hurley.
With the famous brother, and now he's won a championship. He's fiery. He's yelling at players. He's yelling at officials. You know, and I guess that's kind of what college basketball is now. It's more about people know the coaches more than the players.
Correct.
It's just the world we're living in.
Yeah.
Who the hell is Tim Horton? Exactly.
Brad Coates, Dan Hurley, Brad Painter, Kevin Keats. Those are your coaches.
There you go.
In the men's Final Four. And we'll see what the women's bracket will look like and their coaches later on tonight.
Yeah, they're minus money to win the championship. Connecticut is.
Minus money?
They're minus 200.
That's crazy. That's unreal.
Unreal.
Yeah, you don't do that. You're supposed to have the plus money. You know what I mean? You feel good about it.
Everyone's supposed to be plus at this point. Everyone. There shouldn't be one just dominant favorite, but TJ, 16-1 NC State.
So, Chris, go ahead.
What I'm just saying.
Describe that to the people who don't know what that means.
Oh, that means you have to bet $2 to win $1.
Right. That's the minus money.
That's minus money.
That's insane.
Whereas if
plus
you bet
money,
one,
you bet the win.
Right. You bet $1 on NC State, you're getting $16 back. Yeah. Much better ROI
Much better.
In the biz.
Much better.
Return on investment.
Much yes, better. Much better.
It's like Scottie Scheffler to win the Masters.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to start looking at those, too. That's next week's Masters. I'm going to start looking at some of those odds,
Scottie
too,
Scheffler,
as well.
Huge favorite.
Mm-hmm. Start looking at those odds
okay,
as well
Kirk,
because
I see you.
Yeah, you know, just have a little fun, a couple of ways. No, Otani. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to just go about my way.
I slid that in there.
Just wanted to, you know, slide that in there too. But it was a good weekend of just sports all the way in general. Great, I can't wait. Again, today has been heavy because of college basketball. Nicole Auerbach of The Athletic, she'll join us coming up at the next top of next hour to get the men's perspective and of the tournament. So I can't wait to hear that. And then we'll talk a little NBA. I know there's some guys who may be coming back can change the outcome for some teams. More of that coming up right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich.
Every day when we're on the road, people around us endanger themselves and others by using their phones while driving. They think they're hiding it, but we've all seen them and know exactly who they are. For instance, there is the sneaker peeker who darts their eyes between the road and their texts. There's also the got a ticketer looking upset because they just got a ticket for using their phone while driving. And what about the fast scroller who can't drive 5 minutes without updating their social feeds? Or the nightlighter who has that mysterious glow illuminating the inside of their car after dark? Do any of these sound familiar? If they remind you of yourself or someone you know, rethink your behavior before you find yourself becoming the fender benderer, the veering off the roader, or worst of all, the driver who killed someone. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.